Hey there, everyone. This is entertainer and educator Jen Abels. Go ahead and put that cruise control on as you venture down the road to rediscovery with your incredible host, Aubrey. You are not going to want to miss this episode.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on the road to rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling. Now, my special guest is a psychotherapist and best-selling author who's endured a tumultuous journey from being a glamour model to heartbreak, trauma, and secret drug addiction. She now specializes in neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy. She's also written a memoir about her life called Naked Truth, Diary of a Glamour Model, which became an Amazon international bestseller when it launched. Let's welcome Vicky Rebecca to the show. Vicky, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, Aubrey. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise, we are equally excited. And Vicky, if you can just share with us, if you can, how you got started in glamour modeling. Was it an early fascination or how did it all begin for you?
Well, I guess the very first fascination, if I can go right back to being about 12 years old, if you imagine 1960s Scotland, and I don't know if you can, I'm sure you've seen photographs, if you haven't seen it, the beehive hairdo.
Yes.
Do you remember that, the beehive?
Where I do,
women
I
would
do, comb
yes. Their hair, yeah. And so mm-hmm. my cousin, who was babysitting, made my hair like that, put full makeup on me when I was about 12 or so. And mm-hmm. I remember looking at in the mirror and thinking, oh, I want to be a star. I want to be a movie star and be glamorous like this.
I see. That was an early fascination for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that was that. It didn't come to anything at that time. The
right.
actual catalyst came about in a different way. I was subject to, I was gang raped, Aubrey, when I was 14. And it was a very traumatic experience. I didn't know who to turn to.
Right.
And I became a runaway. I started running away from home and eventually, attracted by the bright lights of London, found my way into what was at that time quite a sleazy photographic studio. And that was where my career began. But through there, I met other people and got into better and better work. In the end, I was a Bond girl and I did some fantastic work as a model.
Ooh, a Bond girl.
I was a Moonraker.
Moonraker, absolutely fascinating. I am a tremendous 007 James Bond fan. All of them. I love them all, although I grew up in the Roger Moore era. But yeah, Moonraker, that's the Sean Connery era. And fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So as you advanced through modeling and the different space within the bright lights of London, you networked and got acquainted with more and more people that that put you in more of a let's say more of a classification of better work. and that sort of thing. Would it be fair to say, did glamour modeling open some doors that wouldn't open otherwise, let's say if you were waiting tables?
Oh, absolutely, definitely. My life was glamorous. It was a really fun thing to do. You know, the people I met, the places I traveled to, it was living the dream in many ways, at least on the surface.
I understand. And now, and you bring up a good point when you say at least on the surface, Vicky. I'd love it if you could share for the listeners, because, you know, a lot of us don't know what it's like to be a glamour model. And, you know, there's a lot of attention on you when it comes to applying makeup, when it comes to trying on outfits, when it comes to having your hair done and having cameras at you and so forth. So you are, it seems to be, you know, front and center in a lot of different activities in the glamour modeling space. So with that said, while it seems quite appealing, and I'm sure it is, what are some of the struggles that would come with glamour modeling that, say, a lot of us outside of that space don't know?
Okay. I think, for me anyway, the struggles came from the inside as opposed to the glamour modeling business. But probably what I've found in my experience was that there were many of us who were wounded and therefore attracted to that business. Because I think as humans, we imagine if we have a successful veneer, a glamorous surface, that that somehow is going to mask the hurt inside.
I understand.
In fact, what happens, I think, the glamour actually intensifies the wounding. Because, of course, we all know within ourselves when we're not being absolutely authentic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, is there a sense of, I don't want to say shame, I don't want to say guilt, but is there a wall?
Yeah, that it's one... a sense of shame.
Okay.
Sense of shame or imposter syndrome.
That's what I was looking for, imposter syndrome, because, you know, thinking that you are of this type of lifestyle, being in the space, but at the same time knowing that, you know, there's wounds and hurt deep down, layer up, layer below layer within yourself that still needs healing.
Yeah.
I understand.
And that's how it emerges. And the more successful, for me anyway, there was an absolute split in my life as to how I presented to the outside world. And my inner world was in a downward spiral.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So speaking of that, Vicky, can you share with us the role the role that compartmentalizing played in that part of your life? Sounds like there was a tremendous amount of compartmentalizing to just to survive and get through the day.
Yes. I think when I very first was in London, I was very much a young Scottish girl with my Scottish friends, just arrived in the big city.
Yeah.
And I would have said there was still a fair degree of authenticity. You know, it was all new, it was all exciting, it was all very unexpected. And then after, and it went like that for maybe 3 years. And then in my personal life, I had a heartache, a deep hurt. And I, just after that, I met someone who introduced me to heroin. And that was someone not from the modeling scene, not from London, but someone that I'd known from home here in Scotland. And there the split happened. So I had my professional life with my new friends. And then I almost rested or hid in this other life that reminded me of home. I told myself it was home. It was where I felt that I could be myself. That's what I told myself. But that wasn't really me. That was the hurt me.
Yes.
In a safety zone. I felt it was a safety zone at the time.
I see. So outside of the introduction to heroin, there's still some deep-rooted hurt and wounds from what happened when you were 14.
Yes. And as you know, when we're wounded in that way, we carry that stain, if you like, on our energy field, and we will attract more of the same until we can fully heal and release that wound.
Yes, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it'll stay with us until we can release it. And we have to be in a state, a mental state, a physical state, a spiritual state, to have the ability to release it. So can you share with us just briefly, you know, when and how did you hit rock bottom, and then start to talk with us about the spiritual experience where things started to change for you?
Absolutely, because that is the most pivotal moment of my whole life.
Yes.
So first of all, like most addicts, there's a lot of denial. It took some time before I even accepted that I was an addict. And then I paid lip service to trying to get off a few times, a few failed attempts. And the crazy thing was that paradox that was active in my life, you know, it was almost like I was becoming more successful on one hand and, you know, falling down this dark spiral on the other simultaneously. So it became very hard to, you know, let go of the glamour side, which was, you know, earning me money and, you know, giving me all the success, to really face up to the addiction side. So eventually rock bottom came after several of those attempts, and I made up my mind to cold turkey, because nothing else had worked. And I put myself in a position where I couldn't access drugs anymore.
Right.
And it was really it was a terrible experience. I have no idea. I remember thinking in the moment, why have I done this? What am I doing? It was so awful. I wanted and indeed attempted to take my own life, and failed. Luckily, and at that point, I'm in a foreign country. I was just in a mess. So I went out walking, and I was just walking and walking. I didn't know what to do with myself, where to go, where to seek help. Nothing. I was just in a terrible state, and I remember the moment very clearly. I was walking over a wasteland. It was going to become a building site, I'm sure. It was just an absolute wasteland. And I remember the sun coming up in the background. And then just hearing this voice, and I'm going to say in my head, but I don't even know if that's the right location, Aubrey, but I heard this voice simply saying, you can be reborn.
Mm.
But it was a voice with such a thunder, such a, you know, every cell in my body vibrated and changed, and I knew there was another quality to that voice. It was something I'd never experienced before, but I knew it was something special.
Yes.
And amazing. That was the point where my life turned on its heel.
That's absolutely amazing, Vicky. And that voice, that thunderous voice telling you, you know, that you can change, there is hope. And it's, I mean, not only did you see it, you felt it, right? And it's almost like a trajectory or a push.
Yeah. It was a massive
in a different
push.
Direction.
It was my call back to life.
Maybe sort of that you're safe moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Because yes, back to life. Your call back to life. Oh, 100%. 100%.
So we were must have been the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. And the belief is if you were a heroin addict, you were going to die. That was the belief at that time. You know, you were finished. And to hear that voice was that callback of life. It was just that seed of hope.
Yes. Yes. Vicky, I'm so glad you mentioned that. You added that, right? Because that really draws the picture for the listeners of, you know, how deep in rock bottom you truly were. And at the time when you were going through it, what was considered from a societal expectation of a heroin addict, that they were done. Yeah. And for you to hear this, this thunderous voice at that time with the societal expectations, I mean, that really, really, that really offers some context and perspective in the significance of what you heard.
That's right.
Yeah. This is absolutely amazing. So, Vicky, what was your next move?
I made many retrograde moves after that. It took me maybe another 2-3 years to get into recovery. And I think it just got messier in that interim period. But yet I knew I was headed somewhere. I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. I was very resistant to let go of this wonderful life in London. Mm-hmm. I knew I accepted I would have to do that. But I made several attempts to keep it both going or get clean while still modeling. Mm-hmm. And eventually I realized I have to leave.
Yeah.
And I came home here to Scotland. Yeah.
I see. And as the old adage goes, right? A lot of times things get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
And that is in a lot of cases part of the process, right? Yeah. This is wonderful. So, Vicky, in your memoirs, wanted to know, you know, how has writing your memoirs helped you in the processing and the reflection of all you experienced in your journey leading up to where you are now?
Yeah. Well, I think writing and sharing my story has been the biggest healing of all, actually. First of all, writing, I started remembering parts of my life that I thought I'd forgotten. There were pieces that weren't quite fitting together or gaps that I then further explored and managed to join up those dots. So suddenly I began to understand my own life and understand myself better than I ever had before. And of course, with some of the things, you know, I was a nude model, and some of the things that I'd done while in London, I was terrified to, you know, expose that to the public. But the most amazing thing about that is how people receive truth. I really expected to be trolled and put down, and none of that happened, Aubrey. People were inspired and they could hear the truth in what I was saying. It was beautiful. So that was such a healing in itself. So writing
that makes
the book
a lot
was
of sense, Vicky.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's wonderful. And
yeah, no, go ahead. Please go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, as you were saying, your story is incredibly inspirational, right? And you really got to know and understand and rediscover who you are and what you've went through at a very intimate level. And I'm sure you inspired so many other people. Vicky, I must commend you for your bravery in realizing the possibility of being trolled or chastised or maybe in some cases condemned, but you remained brave and you forged on to, you know, to write this. And it was just the opposite that happened. You know, you were, you know, it was very well received.
Yes. And that was the most beautiful thing, you know, and the, you know, people writing and saying how it inspired them and how similar things had happened to them. And they'd never really been able to face it. But when they read my story, then they could face it. And, you know, even people as adults getting out of difficult situations, having read the book, that was just beautiful feedback to receive.
Wow. And you know, for someone to share that type of feedback where they're opening themselves up to you, it's truly heartfelt feedback, and you really touch them, you know, in sharing who you are and what you went through and giving them hope. That is absolutely remarkable, Vicky. Now, if you don't mind, I'd love for us to chat about how you are helping others. You know, what are some of the conditions or diagnoses of your clients that you've helped using NLP and hypnotherapy?
So, so many things really. Initially, as an NLP practitioner and hypnotherapist, I dealt with a lot of phobias, dealing with habits like smoking, helping with weight loss, then emotional problems and struggles. But I think the thing that honed me as a therapist, if you like, to the niche that I'm in today is clients, before I ever published the book or even shared, at least professionally, about my past, I was attracting the kind of client who had gone through similar things. And they were saying things to me like, there's something about you that I feel I can tell you this.
Yes, yes.
And I was laughing because they didn't know. at that time, and the way that inspired me. So quite often I get clients now who have gone through something similar, not identical, but a similar path, don't know how to get out of the rut that they now find themselves in.
Yes.
Quite often they have a spiritual something that they're not quite sure what to do about and would like some guidance with. And that's it's very interesting clients to work with all those things going on, and to help guide them into a path that will help them rediscover themselves.
Right. Yeah. And who better to help guide them than yourself, because you've had a spiritual experience. And, you know, for someone else to have a spiritual experience and not quite sure what to do with it or analyze it or figure out what it means or what direction to move in after experiencing it, they come and share what they've gone through with you, and you can, firsthand knowledge can help guide them. It's absolutely tremendous, Vicky.
Yeah, it's really quite beautiful.
And it's
funny, on the lead up to speaking to you, I was thinking, I never really spoke about my childhood in my book. It started more or less in my teen years when the trouble started. But I remember my very early childhood, and perhaps most of us have these memories of being in a euphoric world that's, you could call the trance state. And I believe that children do begin life in the theta state, that state of deep relaxation. And it's almost like you kind of spend our whole lives getting back there.
Yes.
Able to access that wonderful healing zone, as I think of it.
Yes. The healing zone. That's a great way of putting it. And as you were saying that, I visualized what you were saying, and I was trying to think, okay, what would this be called? Right. It is a healing zone. It truly is. And you are doing some tremendous work in helping people just improve the quality of their lives with, you know, everything from what may some people may think is small or trivial, but losing weight, quitting smoking, those are huge, huge obstacles, and they're huge accomplishments, you know?
Yes.
And absolutely remarkable. Now, Vicky, how can the listeners connect with you, follow you, and learn more about your great work?
Thank you, Aubrey. Well, my name is Vicky, and it's V-I-C-K-I.
Mm-hmm.
And my second name's Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A. So my website's VickyRebecca.com. And I'm on social media under that name too. So it's all pretty straightforward. Just make a search for Vicky Rebecca.
It doesn't get much easier than that. Yeah, so VickyRebecca.com. Yes, and you know what? We will put that in the episode show notes so people can know where to reach out to you, where to learn more about the great work you're doing, and following you on social media while listening to this lovely, lovely conversation. Vicky, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, chatting with me. I want to thank you for your flexibility in us getting this conversation going. The video part, I guess that's just par for the course when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we have had a lovely conversation. I hope you would agree, and I hope we could stay in touch and maybe bring you on the show sometime in the near future with video working this time.
That would be absolutely, I've so enjoyed chatting to you. It's a never-ending subject for me, so I'd be very happy to chat again. It's been really a delight.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to take you up on that, Vicky, because there are some additional questions that I have. And therefore a continued conversation. I read the prologue of your book and you're very, very quite descriptive in just painting the picture of and the dialogue, right? So but just some more conversation I would truly enjoy in the near future if you're willing.
Brilliant. No, I absolutely love that.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thanks again for coming on, Vicky. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. Hope is always around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation and support. And when it comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. But it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have. The Roads Rediscovery is an AJ Shark production.